The way that we build trailers, we position the axles to make the trailer idiot-proof. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Horse Trailer Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about FAQs about horse trailer towing and tires. We've received numerous questions from our audience, and we just want to answer a few of those today. So the first question, what type of vehicle is best suited for towing a horse trailer? Excellent question, and not one answer fits all of that. In short, the vehicle requirement is going to be two separate numbers. One, the overall weight of the trailer that's being hauled. For example, if a trailer with horses weighs 10,000 pounds for a round number, you need a tow vehicle that is rated by the manufacturer to safely tow 10,000 plus pounds. The other factor, and this is the fine print that the vehicle manufacturers and the salesmen at the dealership, they typically are not going to point this out to you, but that's the number called payload, which is the amount of cargo that you can haul. And cargo includes yourself as a driver, any passengers in the vehicle. If it's an SUV, you know, and you've got it full of other stuff, that is accounted for, as well as the trailer tongue weight. So that information, you have to add up your tongue weight plus everything that you're going to haul and make sure that you don't exceed the payload. And then even a step farther on a bumper pull trailer, for example, you have to be mindful of the rating of the hitch, the receiver hitch that's bolted to the back of the vehicle. You know, we have a client that we're working with just yesterday, actually, looking to tow a two-horse bumper pull, slant load, weight of about 3,800 pounds. She wants to haul one horse, and she's towing with a Honda Ridgeline, or wants to. And the Honda Ridgeline is capped out at 5,000 pounds. Gross towing with the options that she was looking to add and the length, and by the time you get saddles and tacking gear, she would be at 5,300 pounds of trailer weight with just one horse. So right out of the gate, she's exceeded the tow capacity of what Honda says that vehicle would do. And the problem with that is the chassis, the brakes, the tires, the suspension, the transmission, the engine, it's just not designed for hauling a load greater than 5,000 pounds. The vehicle itself only weighs about 4,500 pounds, so right out of the gate, we're asking it to haul at least 1,000 pounds more than even what the vehicle weighs. And then the other weak link in the equation on that, even though her tow vehicle had approximately a 1,500-pound payload and the trailer tongue weight is only about 900 pounds, so she would be within the safe zone there, the hitch on the back of the vehicle maxes out at 600 pounds of tongue weight. And there's not any upgrades available. So particularly with bumper pulls, that's where we run into the most issue with clients trying to tow with inadequately equipped tow vehicles, hitches too small, payload ratings too small. And, you know, the one number everybody focuses on is I have a brand whatever tow vehicle and it's rated to haul 8,000 or 10,000 or 12,000 pounds, whatever that big number is. But you really have to look at the other two, you know, the payload and the tongue weight. Those are going to be your limiting factors. The next question is how to choose the right hitch for towing a horse trailer. We touched on that a little bit, and it goes back to that tongue weight rating if it is a bumper pull. So you need to ensure that the hitch is adequately rated to handle the gross weight of the trailer, meaning if it weighs 10,000 pounds, the hitch needs to be rated to pull 10,000 pounds. And if the tongue weight is 1,000 pounds, the hitch needs to be rated to carry the 1,000-pound tongue weight. So those are the things that you need to be mindful of when selecting a tow vehicle and a hitch. So yeah, when it comes to a gooseneck, you know, the gooseneck hitch itself, most of those are rated at 25 or 30,000 pounds tow capacity. So that's not an issue. But again, you just have to be mindful of the payload of the tow vehicle because gooseneck tongue weights are typically 25, 30% of the overall weight. And a half-ton truck, for example, a majority of those is going to have a 1,500 to 2,000-pound payload capacity. And a lot of goosenecks would exceed that. So generally for a gooseneck trailer, a three-quarter ton or higher would cover you on that. But again, depends on the trailer. The next question we received from our audience, what are the key considerations for loading a horse trailer properly? Great question. So, you know, the way that we build trailers, we position the axles, I guess I can use this term on a podcast, to make the trailer idiot-proof. Meaning, if it's a two-horse trailer and the axles are too far forward, and let's say that down the road you haul a horse in the back stall, you can actually end up with negative tongue weight, which will cause the trailer to sway. So for safety reasons, or even if you have a horse in the front stall and the divider pops open or the horse spooks and he gets underneath and is able to move around the trailer, you certainly would not want to lose control of the tow vehicle because the axles are too far forward and it starts to swing back and forth and it'll put you in the ditch really quickly. So for that reason, ours are positioned so that you can haul a horse in the front stall, the center stall, the back stall. It really doesn't matter. If you're hauling in stock trailers, which we don't recommend for horses, but a lot of folks would do that, particularly on a bumper pull, that's where you're going to run into issues. So just make sure that your animals are secured, your horses are secured very well, gates are latched, maybe even a double latch on it. And obviously you want to put the heavier load toward the front, not toward the back of the trailer. The next question we've received, how to adjust driving when towing a horse trailer? The main thing to keep in mind is you have a lot more weight and really you may be hauling double or even higher of what the weight of your tow vehicle is. So not only does your tow vehicle need to stop, it's 5,000 or 6,000 pound vehicle, you may need to stop 10,000 pounds worth of trailer and horses. So you have to give yourself additional braking room, additional stopping room. Don't tailgate. Yeah, take it easier around curves. Just drive slower. Be more mindful. You know, I've told some folks in the past, I say, look, sit a glass of water on the console of the tow vehicle and drive around without spilling any water. And that's the way you need to be driving your horses so you don't throw the horse down. And you have ample stopping distance to prevent just rear-ending someone. Next question, do I need special training or a license to tow a horse trailer? Most states with a GBWR, meaning what the trailer, axles, and suspension is rated to carry, if it's 10,000 pounds and under, generally just a Class C or a regular driver's license is required. And the number to where it begins, where you have to have a different license, is that 10,001 pound rating on the trailer. Doesn't necessarily mean you're hauling that much weight, but it's what the trailer is rated to haul. I know in North Carolina, where I live, requires a Class A driver's license for anything that has a 10,001 pound GVWR or higher. So check with the specific state that you live in. All of that information is right on their website at the local motor vehicle department website, and you can generally find that quickly. Another great question, how to handle trailer sway if it occurs? And we talked about that a little bit. If you have negative tongue weight, axles are too far forward, you have too much load in the back of your trailer, and it starts to fishtail, so to speak, what do you do? And the common response is slow down, press the brake. That's what you would want to do, right? Well, when you press the brake, you're actually going to increase the sway. Growing up on a farm, we used to truck tobacco and just small two-wheel trailers, and they were always loaded way too heavy than what we should have been hauling back in the day. But at times, that load would begin to sway. And the only way to correct it is, you know, we would actually accelerate really quickly and the acceleration would straighten the load out. And then you could begin to brake and slow down. If it started swaying again, you'd have to repeat the process. And it may take even two or three accelerations and braking periods to get that load slowed down enough to where you can regroup and reposition the weight. What routine maintenance does a horse trailer require? My recommendation is always going to be go to a qualified trailer repair shop every single year, just an annual inspection. Let them, you know, test all the lights, the brakes, pull the wheel off, repack bearings if necessary, see how much wear is left on the brakes, and even go a step farther. WD-40 and lubricant does wonders for sliding windows, door locks. I can't tell you how many folks will reach out to us and say, my key doesn't work, or my door, you know, won't lock. And we'll say, well, you know, go dip the key in a jar of Vaseline, pull it in and out of the lock a few times, and then let me know how it goes. And of course, that takes care of it. And by the way, that's a great tip on how to lubricate those locks. So, and then while the trailer shop has your trailer, they can repair anything that's broken, some sharp edges, or perhaps items that have become detached, and check the floor underneath the mats, check for broken welds, things of that nature. We're going to move to tires now, and we won't spend a ton of time on this, but for today, how to choose the right trailer tires for a horse trailer. And we hear a lot of chatter about truck tires and trailer tires, and we'll have clients reach out and they're looking for, I want the largest, heaviest, you know, biggest capacity tire that I can get because I've had blowouts and this and that. In 26, 27 years that I've been doing this, we have had a fair share of tire failures. And most of the time that has stemmed back to either clients running with underinflated tires, they just didn't check the tire pressure before they left, or overinflated tires, one or the other. And even if you run the tire for a period of time underinflated, you're going to cause excessive heat buildup, which will weaken that sidewall. So, you know, you may come back, air it up the next time, and like, oh, I'm fine, it didn't blow out. Well, you still weaken the sidewall, so you just increase the risk of it blowing out. With us, the tires that we use today, we use a brand that has a five-year warranty. I've had excellent service out of them. And the key to it is we always match the tire properly to the load being carried. For example, a two-horse bumper pull, a C-rated tire, you're going to have a combined capacity between four tires of about 7,000 pounds, which is more than enough on a two-horse bumper pull. Sometimes we'll go with a D-rated tire, which will give you a 10,400-pound capacity. Where we run into problems is clients insisting on overkill on the tire, and the only thing that that does is it just increases the vibration and makes it for a really rough ride. A quick story, I had a client back in 1999, ordered a two-horse gooseneck. We recommended a 3,500-pound suspension with a 7,000-pound tire on it for just a D-rated tire. And the guy's like, oh no, I need a 16-inch E-rated tire and I want 12,000-pound axles on it. And I'm like, we don't recommend that. I don't think it's going to ride good. And anyway, we built the trailer as he requested. He paid for it. He picked it up. He drove it about 10 miles down the road. And then a half hour later, he was back at our shop and said, I can't pull this. It's bouncing all over the place. So, you know, so we sort of learned our lesson there. And moving forward, we're like, no, we're going to put the tires on it that will safely carry the load that are hauling. And it's going to provide the best ride for the horse and the trailer. Best practices for storing and maintaining tires. Tires, when you replace those, they don't necessarily wear out. I rarely see trailer tires that are just worn to where the tread is below that minimum and they need to be replaced. What happens is if you look at the tire, there's an actual date code. Just go online and Google how to read date codes for tires. It'll tell you when the tire was manufactured. It's not going to tell you when it was put in service because often the tires are manufactured in China, they ship on a boat, and then they may sit in a distribution warehouse for a few months, then to a manufacturing facility, and then they're installed on the trailer. So by the time you get a tire, there's a good chance it's already 6 months or 12 months old. But much of that deterioration takes place once it goes into service, it's aired up, it begins to go through heat cycles as you're driving up and down the road. And then the elements too, the sunlight exposure, things like that. So yeah, when do you replace tires? Our recommendation is every 5 years. And my experience has been clients that change their tires every 5 years, they run their tires properly inflated to the pressure that's written directly on the sidewall of the tire. Those we see very, very few tire failures.